Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad you've come. It's good to be here. I'm excited about being here and seeing all of you. I'm excited about this lesson. I'm excited about the lesson we're going to do tonight. And I'm thrilled that we are one day closer to being completely and fully set in order. A congregation does not just have elders. A congregation has elders, deacons, and saints, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. And we are one day closer to that today, and I'm grateful for it. And I'm excited that we, as a congregation, I'm proud of us. I'll tell you what I mean by that. We submitted. That's a big deal. This congregation came together and said, yes, we're going to do God's will here. And we're going to submit to men as elders. And we're going to have men in our congregation that we allowed to shepherd us. Not every congregation will do that. In fact, maybe for 20 years, this congregation would do that. But we did. So it is a blessing. I was at a meeting yesterday. I wish you could have seen the look on Alan Yater's face, for those of you who know him. I said, he asked how things were going. And I said, we just recently installed elders. And he literally did one of these. He was like kind of half paying attention to me. And he goes, I'm sorry, say that part again. It's not every day that that happens in churches. More churches of our size probably go without them than have them. And it is a blessing from God. And it is thanks to you as a congregation, as well as to the two men who we've chosen to be our shepherds, that has happened. So forgive me, that has nothing to do with today's lesson. That's bonus sermon. I don't know when the first time I heard somebody say, give them their propers. Give them their props. I don't know the first time I ever heard that. But I remember when I did hear it, I thought, what in the world is going on? It was originally the kind of thing that rappers would say. They're going to give somebody their props. Well, what it means is give them their proper respect. And I, in my mind, I thought, well, I'll look this up, and I'll probably have to go to Urban Dictionary to find the definition for it. Here's how common this has become. This was interesting to me. This is a print screen of the Google page where I just searched props. And it doesn't come up with a prop in a set. It doesn't mean something that props something up. The very first definition it gives is what would have been the Urban Dictionary definition or the rap definition from the 90s. I blew it up for you a little bit. Now, again, this is not the... You know how they'll give alternate definitions, 2, 3, 4? This was the first definition. Respect or credit due to a person. I don't know if you can see this. Proper respect, props from the 90s. So I thought that was pretty funny because that was the idea. I guess what has happened is what you think is a trendy sermon title eventually just becomes the definition for something over time if you go old enough. So that's what we have today. But as humorous as this is as a beginning of a lesson, or as it's intended to be, at least interesting, it is something that is very, very serious. We live in a country, if you haven't noticed, that has changed considerably in the last 2 or 3 years. If you haven't talked to a teacher lately, I encourage you to do so. People have lost their minds. I'm being real serious about this. They have lost respect. Teachers are quitting. Educators are quitting. They're having a hard time keeping good people. You know why? Because parents are literally punching principals. I don't know if you're aware of this. This is in Clarksville, Tennessee. I had been toying with the idea of doing this lesson, and I think Wendy sent me this on Thursday. This is Clarksville, y'all. This is not some far-off place. Arrest made and assault of Glen Ellen Elementary School principal. And it has the video online. This principal's name is Emily Clark. She's talking to a parent, and the parent punches her in the face. She's talking to a parent, and the parent punches the principal in the face. Guys, we need to have more respect for one another and respect for people in authority. And if you throw it away, you end up with a chaos that we're not ready for as a society. Yet, this is where we are. And I'm not here to tell you why or how. I'm just here to tell you that it is. And Wendy made this point to me when we were talking about the lesson this weekend. She said, well, this is not really going to do any good here. I agree with that pretty much, but I also realize that it has to start somewhere. And if proper respect for authority doesn't start with us, then the world has no hope. So no, I'm not preaching this lesson saying this congregation needs a lesson on saying yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. No, I don't expect that anybody in this congregation is going to punch an elementary school principal anytime soon, okay? But the lesson needs to be learned because there are things we can all take from it, and respect does start with us. Police officers, teachers, politicians, school board members, how are they being treated these days? With respect? I don't think anybody would say that they are. We've got a very toxic mix of things going on here. The social media thing is awful. Political polarization, COVID and the shutdowns. This is the thing, if you ask the school teachers, they've just come back crazy. They've been at home for a year, and they've come back, and they just talk to you any way they want. Their parents talk to you any way they want. They do what they want. The schools can't stop them. We used to have arguments in this country about corporal punishment. That means spanking kids. The days of spanking kids have been over for 40 years. I'm not saying that that's what you got to do, but you got to discipline. You got to find a way to discipline that's effective. And let me tell you something. It's not going on in our schools right now. They have no fear. They know it. They know they can get away with whatever they want. And it starts with a lack of respect. And I tell you how, this is where our part comes in. How do I talk about the elders of our congregation? How do I talk about the Bible class teachers? How do I talk about the local police? How do I talk about the school board member, the president, the politician? And you may be saying, well, those people don't deserve right respect. It doesn't matter whether those people do or not. And we're going to talk about this from a godly standpoint. We must respect one another. I didn't say agree. I didn't say like. But we must have a common respect. You are not my enemy if you differ from me. You are not some mindless, faceless person to be eliminated or eradicated or brought down and thought of as an other. You're a human being that I may disagree with strongly, but you deserve my respect. And how I talk about the police or the politicians or the school board member or the elders or the deacons or the preacher or the Bible class teacher or the teacher at school, that flows over. Because if you ask those same teachers that are having trouble with the kids, where does it start? They'll tell you it starts at home. So this may not be a problem with us, but we certainly need to make sure that going forward that it is not a problem with us. We are to be different. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed is the meek. That's going to make us different. It's going to make how we talk about all those people different. Because of what they call, and I don't mean to get off on this too much, but because of what they call siloing within social media, in other words, we have only people, and the algorithm, there's a lot of reasons for it, but we end up talking to only people who look like us, talk like us, and agree with us, and all those other people become just kind of a faceless void of enemies. If I think of somebody as an enemy of mine, that's going to engender a fear response. And you know what that fear response is? It's not respect. It's not meekness. It's not overcoming evil with good. It's overcoming what I may see as an evil with evil or with force. That's not the Christian way, brothers and sisters. That's a worldly way. That's a carnal way. But the way of Christ is different. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That can be difficult, but it is the Christian way. A lack of respect is a lack of love. When I say I respect you, I'm saying I love you. Now, it doesn't mean that I agree with you. It doesn't mean that I even like you necessarily. I cannot like you and love you. I cannot like you and respect you. We've gotten to a point in our country where that's not true of people. This woman that punched that elementary school principal in the face, she didn't like whatever she was being told, and she had no respect. I've disagreed with things that principals or teachers have done with our children or in the community or whatever the case may be. They still deserve my respect. And that respect has to do with love. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." Is that what your social media feed says you need to do about the people that are different than you? Ideologically, thought, whatever the case may be. Sports teams. Is your response to love them? This is a command. We talk a lot about commands, example, and necessary inference. But I say to you who hear, love. The subject there, when you learn from me, that's an implied subject. The implied subject is you, and the verb is love. You love, that's a command. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. But you say to yourself, I'm afraid I'll lose. You might. Christ lost. We're not called to be like the people of this world. We're called to suffer wrong. We're called to endure suffering. We're called to do the right thing and let the world figure it out. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. If I love my brother and sister in Christ at North 2nd Street, we will have peace. Because we'll get rid of all the things that stand in the way. Notice the commands here. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, is saying, you must get rid of these things that stand between you. These things that keep you from warm, affectionate feeling from one another, you must do away with them. And remember that whatever you think you're having forgiven someone else pales in comparison with what Jesus forgave in us. Well, if that is the attitude, we have further direction in more things that we can look at as commands. Respect starts in the home. There is no doubt that we have sown to the whirlwind, and sown to the wind and reaping the whirlwind, I think is the phrase. That we've destroyed the family. When I say we, I mean culturally in this country. I don't know what the percentage of people is in the elementary schools that have a mother and father in the home that were married and had those children. I'm going to guess it's 30%, maybe lower than that. We've destroyed the home. There's no respect for mother and father. There's no God. There's no God. There's no respect for people in authority. There's no respect for mother and father. And then we wonder, why can't we keep these kids in a room with 25 other kids, and why won't they behave? It has to start in the home. It starts with fathers being worthy of respect. It starts with mothers showing an example of respect and of submission to the father, and then of children learning that. If they don't get it in the home, don't expect them to get it at school. Certainly don't expect them to get it from media, from social media, or music, or television, or wherever they're getting things these days. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. I love how Paul phrases this. It's the first commandment with a promise. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Now, the promise he's going to refer to here is the fact that God says that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. This is commandment number 5 on your 10 commandments, by the way. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. You know when that command stops? Does it stop when you're 16? Does it stop when you're 18? Does it stop when you're 30? Does it stop when you're 50? No. Does it say honor only your mother? No. Does it say honor only your father? Also no. Jesus talked about this, and how the Pharisees were destroying this understanding with the idea they were saying that it was Corban, that the gifts that they would have given to their aging parents, they could give to the temple, and they didn't owe their parents anything. Jesus clearly articulated the idea that honor your father and mother lasts for a lifetime. For a lifetime. If we don't have homes, there's a great old song, God Give Us Christian Homes. If we don't have homes where there's respect for mother and father and children that obey, society has no chance. God says this in Malachi chapter 1. Turn over there for just a moment, if you will. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. If you just turn to Matthew and go back a couple of pages, you'll find it. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. The whole problem with the people of Israel is they did not fear God. They did not respect God. And because they had not did not respect God, they were in sin and they were going to be cast out and troubled. And how they did that was in what they did. And notice that God is saying, you should respect me like a father. So God himself brings himself into the same metaphor that we should understand. We all should understand we obey our fathers. Book of Hebrews talks about we had earthly fathers who disciplined us, therefore we should honor God. Look what the Lord God says in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer these that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? God is saying we should respect God like we respect a father. If that father's not in the home, how can he be respected? Can't be. Stick with it, young people. Stick with your wives. Wives, stick with your husbands. We live in a temporary society, a place where there's what they call planned obsolescence, where they could have made a toaster in the 30s, and you never have to buy another one. This is a true story. They could put wire big enough in it. They could make the case heavy enough. They could have made a toaster in the 30s that would have been lasted for 100 years. Do you know why toasters only last 5 years? Because toaster executives have to eat too. Your toaster is designed for you to throw away. Your TV, your computer, all these things are designed just to be thrown away. Well, we take that into our personal relationship and say, well, I've given it 2 really good years. We just can't seem to make it work. And throw it away. That's not God's way. Respect can't start in the home until we respect God's marriage and his covenant enough to give ourselves to it fully. Men, make it your goal to be the kind of person you can be that can be lived with for 25, 30 years. Ladies, same thing. It will kill neither of us. It will benefit us in the long run. How many children would read that story and say, where God is comparing himself to a father that has respect and wouldn't understand what it meant? Only you can change that. And only you can change it for your family. Respect starts in the home. Honor your father and mother. Respect God in the same way. He's a father. Where is his respect? He is a Lord. Where is his fear? Well, Christians show respect for authority. When I was doing this lesson, I didn't start off thinking about this particular subject, but I thought it was worth putting it in there. We're having to figure this out. We haven't had shepherds here for a long time. Forgive me for this. This is not directed at anyone. I apologize if you think it's directed at you. It's not. We have elders now. For years, we've just done what we wanted. And I'll give you an example. It's a benign example. There's nothing intended in it other than the fact that I'm hoping this is the kind of thing I could say and not make anybody mad. If I wanted to put a song in the songbook, I just did it. If I wanted to teach a class a certain way or do a certain thing a certain way, we just did it. That's not the way it works anymore. I made a joke with the Davids about saying anytime anybody would ask me a question just to see our elders about that. But you know what we need to do? We need to see our elders about that. Now, it may be something the deacon needs to do, but we have men who are making decisions for the church. It is their right to make those decisions, and we are to follow along and respect those decisions. And how we talk about the elders of the congregations to our kids will decide how they respect elders in the future, and frankly, how we respect them. So, forgive me, this is not the point of the lesson at all, but I couldn't help but it falling into line there. Christians show respect for authority. That means in the home, means in the church, and it means in the world around us. Hebrews 13:17, briefly. Obey your leaders and submit to them. That's another command. We understand this. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. That works in the home. It works in the church as well. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 17. I'm going to guess that most of you knew that this verse was coming. And I will tell you that this can be difficult only because Christianity doesn't always make sense to me. Right? What I think is right or wrong, or what I think should be done in the world, that's not always what Jesus asked me to do. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your cloak, give them your tunic. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. None of that seems right to me. And depending upon whether my guy's in power, Romans 13 may not make sense to me. But we'll talk about the guy who was in power when Paul wrote this. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good. You will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to God's to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Now, a lot of us read that and go, well, not right now. That only applies when my party's in power. That's not what God said. And I want you to think for just a moment about who was in power when Paul wrote this. Paul wrote this about Nero. Nero castrated his homosexual boyfriend so he could marry him. Nero dipped Christians in oil alive and burned them at the stake to light his gardens. Nero fiddled while Rome burned. You know what Romans chapter 13 says about that guy? Respect him. Respect him. Doesn't mean approve. Doesn't necessarily even say like what he does. But respect him. I am to respect police officers, mayors, governors, senators, presidents. I may think they're stark raving mad, but I must respect them. And if I don't respect them, it breaks down society in a way that you don't want. You may not like the mayor or the whoever it is, some politician. You may not like them. You may disagree with them wholeheartedly. Do you want to do away with democracy? Do you want to do away with government? Do you want to do away with people who make rules and arrest criminals? I don't think so. Do you want to defund the government? There was a big discussion about this politically. Do you really want that? No, you don't really want that. So if I want it, I have to respect it. Might it be hard to speak of someone with respect? Yes. Yes. It may be difficult to speak of someone with respect, but I need to do it anyway. Not long ago, we understood this in this country. Everybody was not an enemy that needed to be destroyed. Is there some good in what somebody thinks? Yes. Forgive the old-timiness of this. There was a time back in olden times when different political parties would get together, and if I had something that I wanted done in my district, and another congressman had something they wanted done in their district, we'd agree and we'd both get that thing done. That's not what's going on. And the reason it's not going on is we have no respect for those other people. When you read Romans 13, there's no caveat. When you read Romans 13, that's Nero. If you think you're having a hard time respecting a principal or a police officer or a mayor or whoever it is, get over it. Respect them. Love them. Disagree with them. Vote against them. Do what you want to do there. But don't treat them as if they're not human. And don't treat them as they're not worthy of respect in that way. 1 Peter chapter 2. I think one of the issues that we get into with all this is that we don't see ourselves as much as we should as sheep. I couldn't help. I was looking for something that said respect, and I found this. I thought it was too good not to use. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Are we proud sheep? Are we too proud to be sheep? Are we too proud to show respect? What does God tell me to do? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. But Lord, it's Nero. Honor the emperor. If I say to my children, if I don't like something, I don't have to listen to it. Is that the attitude we want in our churches? Because let me tell you where that attitude goes. It goes to God as well. If we have raised a generation of people that says if they don't like it, they don't have to do it. If they disagree with something, they can punch it in the face. They can show up in their pajamas. I don't know what happened with COVID that the pajama thing is a thing. Go to Walmart. You know what you'll see? People in pajamas. That's not respect. I had no idea this lesson was going to go there, but it's true. That's you can't tell me what to do. That's I don't care enough about you to change one iota. I'm rolling out of bed without my teeth brushed or without my shoes put on. And you're just going to have to like it. That's the generation we've brought into being. If they don't like it, they just don't do it. Well, guess what they do? If we teach them that about the school board, we teach them that about their teacher, we teach them that about the principal, we teach them about the governor, well, guess where that's going to go? Why do I think they're going to look at the Bible any differently? God says I can't do this? No, well, I'm not listening to that. You can't tell me. You're not the boss of me. Tonight, we're talking about abominations. It's the same thing with the idea that we can just choose who we want to be and what we want to be. Last thing. Same chapter. You don't even have to change a page. This goes against our inner pride. It goes against reason. I assure you, as I'm giving this sermon, I have a difficulty with this. This is something I have to make myself do. I look at the decisions some people make and I think, how can I respect that? I can respect that because God told me to. And I can respect it because Jesus was not too proud to do anything. Same chapter. The thoughts about Christ flow from what we just talked about. Might it be suffering to honor the emperor? Yes. Christians went willingly to their death because they honored the emperor. Terrible. The idea of being burned at the stake pales in comparison. The worst one I ever heard about, the one that always scares me to death, they had an iron bull in which they would place Christians and they would set a fire underneath it. That almost brings me to tears thinking about it. Christians walked in and did it. So when it says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor, disagreeing about policy becomes irrelevant. And Jesus is our example. It may be suffering. Sometimes it's suffering. But we can do it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 25. And you've heard this is used in the context of it's a great gospel message, maybe one of the greatest ones in Scripture. And as we listen to this, if you're not a Christian, listen to what Jesus did for you. But he did so because he was unafraid to submit. For what credit is you when you sin and are beaten for it? You endure. In other words, if I do something wrong, Romans chapter 13, and government punishes me, why am I excited about that? I should be punished. But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you might follow in his steps. So you're telling me all that meek stuff and all that hunger and thirst after righteousness and all that poor in spirit, Jesus really meant it? You mean that whole slap me on one side, turn the other cheek also? You mean Jesus meant it? Yes, I do. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You know who killed Jesus? Roman Empire. The governing authorities. He could have stopped it. He didn't. So what is this hard thing I have about respect? Let's respect one another. Let's be men of respect in our household. I can't tell you how Everything starts right there. Be the husband and father you should be. Every day. Wives, submit to that husband. Husbands, submit to those wives. Children, obey those parents. Say yes, sir. Say yes, ma'am. Respect someone whether you think they deserve it or not. Let me tell you something. There are people in this world that crave a little respect. They've been treated poorly. They've been run over in this world. They might be in jail. They might be on the wrong side of the law. They've been cussed at a lot. You show them some respect. You show them the light of Christ in their life. You might change their world. Because they'll know that didn't come from this world. They'll know it came from above. That's our lesson. We all have sin in our life. We all deserve death. We all deserve to be cast out of the presence of God. Every one of us. Jesus came, who had no sin, and died on the cross for those of us who do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made he who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I can stand right before God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're not in Christ, if it cannot be said of you and I that he is our Lord, won't you begin to serve him? He will save you. If you've begun to serve Jesus Christ, but you've walked away in disbelief, you have not obeyed, you've lost your respect for God and for Jesus, won't you come back and repent of that? And won't you come forward as we stand and we sing?